Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission. Live from Trackside, this is IMSA Radio.
Hello everybody, it's a massively busy weekend for us here at IMSA Radio and also for IMSA competitions. Not one, but two, or three, let's say, for IMSA competitions and two for us different venues. We're working across WeatherTech Raceway, Laguna Seca, $5 in the jar, hind of, and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Let's go to California now for Mazda Racing. You know it's going to be good.
The eDay Mitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich on IMSA Radio.
Picture perfect day at WeatherTech Raceway, Laguna Seca. The signature corkscrew at the top of the hill will provide one of the challenges for the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup for 2021. This is round 11, and in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre, I'm John Hindhoff, joined as ever by my colleague from IMSA Radio, Shea Adam. We'll talk to her in a moment because we've got some storylines for you. The West Coast is the best course. That's what everybody tells me out here. 11 corners, just over 2.25 miles. I love the fact that we have names like the Andretti Hairpin, Rahal Strait, and, of course, the Corkscrew as well. Turn 11, nice and slow. That leads on to a long run to the line. And what do we know about Mazdas? They do love a bit of a slipstream and a draft. This could be very interesting indeed for the run to the finish. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to our 11th round of the season. Shea Adam, often patrolling the pit and paddock for us at places like Le Mans and Barcelona and Bathurst. And actually, speaking of Bathurst, Shea, not dissimilar in terms of the rise and fall to what we have here at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca.
Thankfully, a far fewer number of kangaroos hopping across the track than at Mount Panorama.
Let's hope so.
It is the racetrack that every kid grows up playing on the video games. You go straight to Laguna, no matter what system you're on, because this is the track of dreams. And for the 23 drivers set to take the green flag in race one today, their dreams are about to be reality. Only one driver in the field has won here before in the Idemitsu MX-5 Cup Championship. That is our pole sitter, Celine Royan. So does that mean that one of the other 22 will get to see the top step of the podium? We're going to have to find out, but it's going to be hard work to get around that beautiful Autism Speaks car.
Cars are lined up, tails into the wall, echelon style. There's plenty of cars on the hill up to the corkscrew. Fans in attendance here as they roll off. Let's run down the grid for you. There's a couple of storylines, as I say, that we've got to cover for you in race 11. And starting off at the back of the grid, Michael Carter, championship leader for Carter Racing Enterprises, had an issue with a transponder, and for some reason, although he was out there in qualifying, the laps that he was doing was not being recorded in any way, shape or form by the timing, whether by manual means or by the transponder. Ahead of him, Brian Hixon for Hixon Motorsports and Moise Oretzky for McCombie McAleer Racing. Alex Petura and Jean Jourdain on row number 10. On row 9, Bruno Caniero for Provision Motorsports and Hixon Motorsports has Lonnie Unser in P18. Dean Copeland and David Staab for Copeland Motorsports and Slipstream Performance, respectively, are on row 8. On row 7, Woody Hyman for JTR is alongside Jensen Altman. A little bit further back than Jensen would like, but he does race very well for McCombie McAleer Racing. On row number six, Peter Atwater, one of the rookies with Zachary Lee alongside him. On row five, Hernan Palermo on the inside. Led them out in the fog this morning in a shortened session with Jared Thomas alongside him for JTR. On row number four, Luca Mars, one of the slew of rookies at the sharp end of the field. He's got another first-timer with Daniel Williams alongside him. On row number three, Justin Piscatel for McCombie McAneer Racing, and it's an all MMR row, that third row with Sam Pearley alongside him in the black number 28. Watch for Sam coming forward. He wants to win a race overall. It's another full rookie row on row two with Chris Noons for JTR alongside Aaron Jensen. And on the front row, two championship protagonists, Gresham Wagner for Spark Performance in second position, and on pole position, Celine Roland in the 87 Hixon Motorsport car. They are battling with Michael Carter, who has got it all to do from the back of the grid. Just one formation lap here, 45 minutes on the clock. Wherever you are listening or watching around the world, we know how much you love this racing, and we love to bring it to you. The Idemitsu Mazda MX-5, presented by BF Goodrich Tyres, is ready to roll for the 11th time of asking. We started on the high banks of Daytona, and now we're on the rise and fall of WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. Pole position man gets away pretty well as he heads down through the kink at turn one. The Autism Speaks car, the white multicolour car on the inside, will try and hold on to the lead through the Andretti hairpins. They can go side by side through here, and they are going side by side, but it looks very much as though we have got, as they started at the front, but a spinner further back, and the dust is flying already. And as the dust clears, it's the 92. It is the 92 that's gone around. Oh, that is such a shame. And that is Lonnie Unser, who's had a difficult weekend already. Now, let's see if she can get that car running. She was hoping for another top 10 finish in that car. Through turn six, Paul Sitter still leading. Ah, excellent. The Hixon 92, and Lonnie Unser is moving again. So we won't need the intervention of the Mazda safety car. I think Lonnie got a little bit of a helping hand further back. It's the dark red car, and there was a few unconventional lines going on in there, which threw up some dirt and dust. So really difficult to say what happened. Oh, that was Michael Carter was in there. The Carter Enterprises red and white car was off on the dirt on the driver's right to avoid Lonnie. But what happened before it, can't tell you, is the simple answer to that. But they are all running, and at the end of the first lap, I might be able to take a breath and bring Shea Adam in here as our Paul Sitter comes through and leads the first lap of the race. And breathe, Shea Adam, action as exactly as we expect for the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup.
And we do have a car stop. That's Dan Williams, who actually was one of the people I was going to talk about, John, because he switched teams in between events. He has gone to JTR Motorsport, and that seems to be the popular thing this year, as Jared Thomas is battling his way up the grid as well in that 96 machine. There's been an onslaught of drivers making their way over to JTR, started off the season with just two cars. Now they're up to five.
It's turn six where that very distinctive yellow and black number 97 went off. He was facing the wrong direction for a while. Lonnie Unser's gone through, but we have got that number 97 now pointing in the right direction, although down substantially on the rest of the field. Meantime, we've had a change of leader as Gresham Wagner has gone through for Spark Performance, and later in the red, white and black car, it's side by side. Chris Noons and Sam Pearley in the 28. I told you that black car would be quick. Sam Pearley is absolutely, totally and utterly committed to win a race overall. He is in the rookie championship, as is Chris Noons, who leads that championship. Big side mids moment further back down the field for Hernan Palermo in the slipstream car. That's the bright yellow car. And somehow, Hernan Palermo managed to hold on to it. Normally, come on, we've all done that on whatever platform that you are on. As soon as you get your wheels on that dirt on the outside of the rundown from the corkscrew, that's it. It's game over. But somehow, Hernan Palermo manage to... I have no clue how he hung on to that, but it was Jared Thomas who took advantage and went through. End of the second lap then. Wagner goes through from Nunes, Pearly, Céline Roland, the poor sitter in a fourth position. Then Piscatel-Palermo. Was it Piscatel that went through there? Yes, it was. My apologies. And meantime, what about our championship leader? Michael Carter is up to 11th place after two laps. So he's already knocking on the doors of the top 10 in that white, red and black car. So keep an eye on that in the background as we watch what is going on as Palermo's just dropped back a wee bit. What a couple of laps. Shit, Adam, sum that one up in 20 words or fewer.
Gresham Wagner wants to take advantage. How about that?
Yeah,
for
that's pretty
an opportunity.
Good.
There are 20 points on offer for various things during this race. 10 points for the fastest lap, 10 points for the most laps led. Gresham Wagner is trying to lead the most laps by going to the front. He's got one and Céline has one. But Gresham Wagner currently with the fastest lap time. Michael Carter knows that he is a fast car. Clearly, if he's already up to 11th, he's cut through half the field in two laps of the race. But he also knows that if he turns up the volume and goes faster, he can take 10 points further off of everyone. We've got a car off. 36 is off, John, and the red flag is being displayed.
Oh, right. Well, that normally means that the car has overturned for that to come out so quickly.
Yellow now.
Okay. Just a problem with the timing screen. That's David Staub in the blue slipstream car. Normally, full course yellow. Well, this is not gonna hurt the chances of Michael Carter, who's inside the top 10 and 7 seconds away from the lead. But this is all going to close up. And Staub's car is running again, albeit with damage to the left front. He's got the hazard flashes going. David Staub for the Liquid Moly supported slipstream Mazda number 36. Well, they're tough little cars, these. Start off life as a standard street car coming into the US, immediately being shipped to the Fliss brothers in Florida, up by Daytona, to be transformed from a street car into a racing car. And you might think they look pretty stock, but let me tell you, there are more than 250 dedicated racing parts. The engine is left absolutely stock and sealed so that there can be no messing about with it. But other than that, the car is stripped back to its bare shell. There's an FIA roll cage and fire suppression device put in, various other safety devices, racing gearbox, the very sophisticated Multimatic suspension, and all the other accoutrements that go to make a race car. And this is a proper racing machine with sequential box. Then, of course, we have the BF Goodrich tyres and the raised wheels as well. Oh, a little bit of rubbing right underneath the starter stand. And then it all kicked off at the first corner. Now, involved in that was the number 36, David Staub, who has pulled to a halt, who did pull to a halt, in the pit lane, but is now rolling again, albeit with damage. I'm pretty certain Tanny, starter for IMSA, shares the duties with Dennis, was on that. As we've already gone back green again, back to live green racing, so it's all been cleared very quickly. And straight away, defensive move being used by Gresham Wagner in the red-fronted leading number 5 car from Spark Performance. Céline Roland battling his way back up into third, is now in third ahead of the black number 28, Sam Paley. Hernan Palermo in the bright yellow slipstream car. Then Jared Thomas in the blue JTR. Aaron Johnson for Provision is in the dark red car, also coming through there as well as Luca Mars. And Michael Carter's right in that the JTR. Jared Thomas is in the silver car, excuse me, I said blue there in my mind, I said silver. It's got the stripe on the left hand side of the bonnet and the yellow roll cage as well on Jared's car. And here comes Carter's right in that as well, trying to battle his way back through. Remember, he started at the back of the grid some 9 minutes ago, or if you prefer, 4.5 laps, and he's already inside the top 10. Surely he's going to get the Hard Charger Award today, Shay.
Yeah, that's his for the taking. Starting 23rd, moving his way forward, you'd have to be pretty hard-pressed to pass more cars than Michael Carter will over the course of this one. But we were talking a little bit earlier about Sam Paley, and that is who Celine Rolon is having to battle up against. Sam, who has gotten 4 second-place finishes on the year, currently holding that 4th position, having lost 3rd on the restart. He's somebody to keep an eye on because he is going for this rookie championship, currently leading Chris Nunes, who, unfortunately for him, is 2nd on the racetrack right now. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on later as well. And Chris Nunes, by the way, California kid is what he's known at. This is his first ever race at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. Not doing too bad.
Zachary Lee in the gold number 48, right side by side for a moment with Luca Mars and one or two others as he tries to squeeze his way through. Jensen Altman, I suggested that he was a little further down. David Copeland as well in the 51 is right in that battle as he's trying to get his way through for the Copeland Motorsports team. Mars now side by side again going through turn 5. Ahead of him, Aaron Johnson. So that was Zach Lee going through, was it not? No. Oh, big moment there for the bright yellow Herlin Palermo. That's the 5th place car. I'll go back to that other battle in a moment because this is going to be to the advantage of Jared Thomas in the silver car with the yellow roll cage and Michael Carter in the red, white and black car. They've dragged through as Herlin Palermo was all over the outside of turn 6. Oh my goodness. Palermo somehow hung on to the car, committed to turn 6. It's a really tough turning. You can't see where you're going to, and there's a big compression in the middle. In fact, all 3 of them ran right out to the edge of the curb, and Palermo, fair play. I think he just kept his foot in there. That was fantastic stuff, and he's right on the back of the battle now, which is for 5th, 6th and 7th with Michael Carter up to 5th position and trying to bridge the gap of the lead as he slides wide, trying to take too much speed into the first part of the Andretti hairpins, but he's held onto it, also catching those guys up as Aaron Jansson in the dark red provision car. Then it's Luca Mars, Jensen Altman, Copeland Z, Atwater, Jean Jourdain in 14th and Woody Hyman in 15th for JTR, and there's only 8 seconds between the top 15 at the moment. And Shay, Adam, we've got 33 minutes to go.
Oh my goodness, yeah, no gapping in this series. Hernan Palermo, the self-proclaimed llama farmer, clearly with the luck of the llamas on his side, 3 adventures off the track so far today. All 3 have been recoveries, and he's gone straight back into the battle he was involved with before going off the track. We have 2 things of note to report. It is official that Justin Piscitel, who pulled into the pit lane right as the caution came out, has retired with mechanical issues. So that's unfortunate for the incumbent McAleer driver. And also, the fastest lap has switched hands once again. Celine Rolon, who came into the race today with a 10-point advantage, having gotten pole position exactly 200 points behind championship leader Michael Carter, has the fastest lap. That's 10 points going his way. But so far, Gresham Wagner is the guy who's going to come away with 10 points for leading the most laps.
Yeah, and points make, well, not only championships, but actually dollars at the end of this season, Shay. There's a huge amount of folding cash up for grabs. It's not in the form of credits. It's not in the form of we'll give you a season's drive. This is real hard folding cash that Mazda commits to this. And it's over, well, it's getting over $550,000.
It's $250,000 for the champion. $250,000 for whoever comes in first. So now you understand why the guys are racing so hard for that first place. But it pays all the way down to 10th place in the championship. There's an additional $80,000 for the rookie of the year, which Paley and Nunes are fighting over quite literally on the track right now. $110,000 for the grassroots scholarship, which Aaron Johnson was the winner of last year. And there's a woman scholarship, $75,000 for a woman who comes into race in this series. So the money is definitely flowing with Mazda. They want their drivers coming up through the ranks.
Side by side with Celine Rolon, trying to get through and going through into second place. Chris Noone's in the Mazda that is red, white and black in that order from the front. It's a lot of red, white and black Mazda MX-5. So you can't miss Céline Roland. And he is in that car that started on pole position with the jigsaw pattern. Lovely drag out of turn number six. There was a little battle for the lead going on right ahead. And that looks like Chris Noone's has gone through to the lead. It has indeed. So the 32 of Chris Noone's has gone through to the lead. And it was Gresham Wagner who lost out there. So from first to third in one fell swoop. Then it's Pearly, then Carter, another 2.5 seconds back. Now, if these three, four cars start fighting, and they are fighting because Céline is right there on Chris Noone's. Chris Noone's with the rookie championship, of course, and he wants a victory as well this year. These young lads, as Michael Carter described it on Midweek Motorsport, by the way, he's the ripe old age of 21, but these are teenagers, some of these rookies, in the Mazda Championship this year. The Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup presented by BF Goodrich Tyres. So Chris Noone's leads it for JTR from Roland in second. Then Wagner, then Pearly. Carter trying to get on terms. This top three absolutely tied together as they climb the hill. And we've still got half an hour of this.
But we don't ever expect anything different, though, John. We've had 10 races so far this year, and the total margin of victory is 6 seconds.
Yes, absolutely right. And a couple of times you could have put a small picnic blanket over the top two or three. It is magnificent racing. Brilliant way to start off our race coverage this weekend. Here at WeatherTech Raceway, Laguna Seca, the Mazda brand has such a long and brilliant association with this place, and MX-5s have raced here before to great effect. Great to have them back in the IMSA paddock. Great to have them back on the IMSA promoted events down into the hairpin at turn two. 32, Chris Noone's JTR from Roulin. Then Gresham Wagner, Pearly, Carter not able to close in that time around. All of the top five lapping within a tenth of each other. Under 29 minutes, but only just. So plenty of racings to come. Carter is dragging Jared Thomas with him. Now those two, if they can work together and not fight the red, white and black car and the silver car with the yellow roll cage, they can work together. Maybe they can bridge that gap, and they might just bring Aaron Johnson as well, who is the Sol Red crystal coloured car, the Provision Motorsport machine. He's just done his fastest lap of the race last time around, as had Jared Thomas, as has Hernan Palermo's behind them in the yellow car. So these cars now trying in much the same way as in a bicycle race. They're trying to work together and get across to the breakaway. So not exactly a peloton, but certainly a breakaway at the front of four cars who are now scrapping. And that's Wagner down the inside at the penultimate corner. This is going to start slowing them down, Shane. Sam Pearly's right in there now. He's been able to close in the dark coloured car at the back of this quartet. And as soon as this happens, we've seen it time after time this year, the chasing cars, if they stay one behind the other, they'll be on them within a couple of laps.
Yeah, very much so. We don't stand a very long opportunity before we have, what, seven different teams within the top eight all grouped together. The thing that I'm starting to notice is that 87 machine, the Autism Speaks Mazda, it's looking like it wants to get to the front. Céline Roland, who realizes that he needs the bonus points, every point counts. And when you're trailing the leader and the leader is behind you, you're making up points. Both of the guys he's battling are behind him on the racetrack, but the lead gets you that 10 additional points, as well as the win, 350 points for the win, 320 points for second. If he wants the championship, he has to get around Chris Noone's.
Chris Noone's with the slowest of the top eight, top nine last time around, with Luke Mars in ninth position, just 3/10 of a second away from Jensen Altman, who is at the moment scrapping with Luca Mars for that third place on the rookie podium. But it's Nunes leading out overall and for the rookie championship. Now, does it seem to me that these four have sort of settled down just a little bit with Sam Pearley tucked onto the back there? And then there's another three, almost four, with Palermo. Behind Palermo, it is Luca Mars, Altman, then Copeland, Zachary Lee as well. Peter Atwater not that far back either. Just another second or so. The top 10 still only separated by 8.5 seconds. As the leaders are starting to split up into a pair of twos. And look what happens. Immediately the fighting starts. Here comes the chasing pack. A pair in the lead. That's JTR's Chris Nunes and Celine Roland in the white and multicoloured. The Autism Speaks car in second position. Now a little gap back to third and fourth, Wagner and Pearley. And here comes Carter leading the charge. The cavalry are about to arrive here. And we're going to have five cars battling for the last podium spot. And we've still got 25 minutes to go.
But you know who wants the cavalry to catch up, John, is the leader, Chris Nunes.
Good
because
point.
He benefited at Mid-Ohio in the second race from his teammate and team owner, Jared Thomas, acting as his leader as it was then. Well, it's time for Jared Thomas to be a wingman. So if Jared can catch back up to this lead pack, work his way to the front, Chris will feel a lot better about having a Hickson Motorsport, a Spark Performance, and a couple of McCombie McAleer cars behind.
Magnificent stuff, as always. Palermo just not being able to get onto the back of John Sawn. He's dropped about a second and a half back. This has got all of the makings of another grandstand finish. The first race of two at WeatherTech Raceway. Laguna Seca and more gravel being thrown up. That's Jared Thomas. He's going to go wide. His BF Goodrich tyres are dirtied up now. And that's going to give him a bit of a problem as Aaron Johnson gets to his left. And that's the correct side, the right side to be on through the slight kink at one. And he'll be through before the braking area of the Andretti hairpin. Wow. Thomas will be really annoyed with himself there. Just trying to take too much speed into that penultimate left-hander coming down the hill.
And John Somme had a fantastic qualifying session, finishing fourth at the end of that one for both of the races, the race tomorrow as well, but then dropping back at the beginning of the race, now battling for that seventh position. It's a disappointment for Aaron so far today, so he's looking to try and clamber back up in this rookie championship as well as in the overall positioning. And considering that John Somme is in the rookie championship fighting against Pearley and Nunes, he again is one of those people looking to try and get ahead of the people ahead of him in the points.
Hello to Stephen Lloyd. I love watching British touring cars, he said, but the Mazda MX-5 Cup is fast becoming a firm favourite. Can understand that. At IMSA Radio, we'll get you to us here with 23 minutes to go. Thank you, Stephen. Just talking to Paul Fanner, the man at the head of Racer Magazine this week, when we were seeing how much we enjoy this level of racing and how great it is that Mazda has turned this into not just something that people pass through, it's potentially a destination. And Michael Carter was saying that, why do I want to move up if I can earn $250,000 for winning the championship, when a season of racing probably cost you maybe $150,000 at the top end? It's a great way to go racing and enjoy your racing. And Paul Fanner said to me, he said, kind of, this reminds me of Formula Ford racing with fenders from the 1970s. He's absolutely right. Hickson Motorsport driver Céline Roland goes round the outside but can't get through. We know that that's a quick car. Oh, there's a touch, and that's going to be an off. It's going to be a big off as well at turn four. And on, back on comes the 32, Chris Nunes. He's just grazed the wall. Really, really fortunate. They were battling going into turn three, and there was the slightest of touches between those two cars. Now, race control will be looking at that. The cars are on the very ragged edge of adhesion. Absolutely nothing there in terms of being deliberate. So side by side going into the Andretti hairpins, the Hickson Motorsport car on the right hand side trying to do the cutback, and getting the cutback done gets a better run and goes to the left and then the right. Oh, but so what happened to Nunes? Did he just lift early? Going into four, he was defending from the middle of the road, but there was definitely a touch as Céline Roland was trying to go down the inside, the right hand side. Nunes very lucky. I thought he was going to nose straight into the wall on driver's right and managed just to kiss it with the front end of the car. He snagged a gear down through the sequential box and has rejoined, but down the field that will be being looked at. By the way, early on, the incident that we had between Aaron Johnson and I think it was the 20, Hernan Palermo, wasn't it, with that car, that was reviewed with no further action. So Roland now to the lead, and the 32 goes through, was the leader last time around, and now has dropped down battling with Jean Jourdain. So Chris Nunes has dropped down to 12th place, but he immediately goes back into 11th. There's a little bit of panel damage on the left front. That could have been much worse here.
That was very fortunate to avoid a much bigger calamity. And there definitely was contact between Céline Roland's car and the back of Chris Nunes. Now, the race director will be looking at that, and the incident is formally under review. The issue is that this is a different race director than they've had all year. The normal race director is off in Indianapolis, so that means that Bo Barfield is stepping in for this weekend. And hey, if you need a supplementary race director, Bo Barfield is the best race director you can find in just about all of racing. But we'll have to see what race control comes back with as far as a decision. That could be championship changing.
Yeah, and there's more touching as well. And again, it's Chris Nunes, whose car got very sideways going up in the braking area for the corkscrew. That's put Michael Carter, of course, up to fourth position, and now barely a second away from the race, and even less than that than being on the podium. It looks to me as though Nunes' car is bodywork damage to the left front. He's weaving around a little bit. Has he got some steering damage as well? Maybe just hitting that wall has done it. Damage to the suspension, not to the steering. Looks like he's struggling to keep it in a straight line as he's battling with Alex Batura in the white slipstream cars. They go across the line. Meantime, another retirement. Cher Adam.
We've just had two in two laps. Bruno Carneiro making his series debut with Provision Motorsport in the 99, normally driven by Drake Kemper. Drake, we miss you. Come back soon, please. He's retired, as well as Dean Copeland in car number 51 of Copeland Motorsport, both of them citing tire damage.
And from race control, we have had the confirmation, no action. It's been looked at, no action. I've often said this, sometimes no call is the right call. It's been looked at. There's a lot of experience. Oh, big miss. Well, off the circuit, the leader off the circuit there at the downhill portion of the corkscrew. And Roland is under pressure. And through goes Gresham Wagner. I think he almost had to give that up because he gained an advantage by going off, certainly in time and distance. Here comes Sam Pearley down the inside at the final left-hander, and Michael Carter's right in there as well, and Roland from leading is going to be down to, at the very best, third. He might drop to fourth or fifth because Johnson's there as well in the all-sold red crystal car, getting on for 100 miles an hour as they over crest the brow and down towards the first proper braking area, and Carter's up in the second. What a drive this has been from Michael Carter and Carter Racing Enterprises. The car that he runs with his dad drove the car across country and arrived here on Thursday with the trailer. This is not one of the big multi-car teams, and Michael Carter, the man with the fabulous voice, is back up to second, and his championship share, Adam, is back on track.
Are we going to see a worst-to-first for the Hard Charger Award? Michael Carter is doing everything in his power. power to make that happen. And that beautiful sequence beginning at the final turn, Sam Paley diving down the inside of Celine Roland, opening the door for Michael Carter to come through, and then Aaron Johnson following suit as well as Paley's off the track, heading up to the corkscrew. This is going to give Carter a chance at the lead.
Again, the exit to turn six. Robert Mitchell tweeting us here in the Global Broadcast Centre. He says, these people drive like their next meal depends on winning the race. I love that. I think that needs to be on the poster, doesn't it, for Idemitsu MX5. Thank you, Robert. Glad you're enjoying it. It doesn't get any better than this. We've had brilliant racing all year. Here comes Carter in the final corner. Thinks about down the inside. Can't get it done. Johnson sitting there as well. Still 16 minutes to go. 16 minutes. That's going to be somewhere in the region of 10 laps. Oh my goodness, 20 miles of this to go. Wagner just puts the left-hand BF Goodrich's into the green as he comes down. And here comes Celine Roland again. Not finished. Gets the big three-car draft into the Andretti hairpin. And we have got six cars almost as Jared Thomas. Jared Thomas is back there again after making the mistake earlier on. Easily recognisable by that bright yellow roll cage. We're not, in everything that we've seen this year, Shea Adam, we're not going to see a back-to-front victory from Michael Carter. Absolutely extraordinary. Didn't even get the safety car on the track. We had the call for the safety car, but it cleared so quickly that race control got back to racing very, very quickly indeed in a brilliant piece of adjudication. Thomas and Paley just dropping off the back, and it's Carter this time who's gone off, and he's way off. He's going to hit the barrier surely. No, he somehow stayed away from it, but he'll drop down behind Thomas, so he's back down to six. So the charge has gone, and again the leader is off. This time it's Gresham Wagner who surely will have to give back that position. He went off the track down the Zanardi line of the corkscrew. Didn't actually manage to hit the dirt. My goodness. When we say on the ragged edge, we're on the ragged edge and way beyond it. And Michael Carter with a big jump on the exit of turn six. How he kept that out of the tyres and the Hyundai signs at the Hyundai Monterey Sports Car Championship this weekend, I have no idea whatsoever. Top six, though, are still together. And then there's about 5 seconds to Hernan Palermo for Slipstream, who's in seventh. Luca Mars at third, still in the rookie class here for Copeland. He's got Jensen Altman right behind him in ninth in the top ten. Zachary Lee from McCombie McAleer Racing. But all eyes on the front of the field. Shea Adam, 13 and a half minutes to go. And they are intent on rearranging the gravel at the side of the track here.
The scary thing there for Michael Carter was when the car and his eyeballs were focused fully on the tire barrier coming up the hill and somehow managed to keep it out. But this is not the worst thing in the world for Michael Carter. His ally in racing, he has always said, Jared Thomas, the car right ahead of him now. So he and Jared can work together to try and push their way toward the front. We were talking about earlier on about Chris Nunes needing Thomas to get up there. Well, now Michael is going to work to try and push that yellow roll cage to the front and then pass him at the ideal moment. But Gresham Wagner leading the way once again. He's closer to securing those 10 bonus points for leading the most laps.
Just got, oh, and again, we've got somebody off. It's Sam Paley this time. And he's got the Sport Trade number 28. McCombie McAleer Racing car back on, but he's lost touch with the leaders. Now, can he fight back? I suspect he can, because I've no doubt the top five are going to start their own battles again. And elbows out, trading punches. It will slow them down. 141s at the front of the field. 141s all the way down to 10th position. And Zachary Lee and Jensen Altman, by the way, that last lap around, has got into 8th position, which puts him on the podium in the rookie category for the McCombie McAleer Racing team.
What a great drive for Jensen Altman, who once again welcomes a new sponsor to the car this weekend, Vervantis joining him. So we got new sponsors the last time around. This kid is attracting a lot of good attention, and for good reason. Working his way up for the rookie championship this year, I really want to see him back next year and see what he can do. His great uncle, none other than the great EFR.
Elliot Forbes-Robinson, inaugural ALMS champion. Michael Carter going for position number four, coming into sixth. There's a little hip check there as he goes in on Jared Thomas, but he's got through, and now he sets off in pursuit of Aaron Johnson. Now, Michael, come on, you started dead last in 23rd position. Four, you were up to second, you've gone back down to sixth, you're back up to fourth. Take the points, man. I might as well be shouting at the moon when I say that. The leaders battling on. Oh, 97 has gone around. That's the JTR car, and that's the Williams machine. Oh my goodness, what a shame for Daniel Williams, the man from Scottsbluff, New England. And well, he's got a gear and the engine is still running. We're under green at the moment. I think that's on the downhill section. He's got the...
He battled his way back up to 13th after spinning on that inaugural lap and dropping all the way back down to 23rd.
Yeah. It's either turn 5 or 6 on the circuit. And it was turn 6 when he again went off. And oh my goodness. The tyre wall doing its job though. And virtually no damage to the nose of that MX-5 Cup car. And he has got going again. So we roll on to the last 10 minutes, Shea Adam, where we've had as much action, overtaking, incident, excitement, and more importantly, entertainment than in most full seasons of other championship. The Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup once again delivering on its promise to entertain us and being real racing. The top three separated by half a second, then Michael Carter just a second further back. He's not even that now, and he's still dragging Jared Thomas with them. Sam Pearney's dropped back a little bit now by about another couple of seconds. Then it's Palermo in seventh. Altman in eighth is still having the scrap with Luca Mars for the final step on the rookie podium, and Zachary Lee rounds off the top 10. I know you don't bet, and I'm not allowed to put money on things, particularly not the house, but you could not pick any one of these top five here, Shea Adam. It could be any one of them, it could be none of them.
It could be Sam Paley, it could be Hernan Palermo, it could be Jensen Altman. Who knows at this point in the race? I am getting intel from the pit lane that Chris Nunes is sitting on the pit lane. Not an official retirement as of yet, but the California kid who looked like he was going to have a dream race, now waiting for it to be over for the possibility of redemption tomorrow, as no, he has left the pit lane. So his race not completely over today. But the top three battling, Aaron Johnson just hanging on to the tail of Gresham Wagner and Celine Roland. Those two are people that Aaron knows he can learn from. He's a smart young kid, originally from Louisiana, now living in Indiana. He might just sneak something special here. I would love to see him get on the podium.
I asked Michael Carter when he was on Midweek Motorsport on Wednesday, what do you think? Is it going to be a bit of a procession? Am I going to have no voice left at the end of it? And he said in that wonderful drawl that he has and that deep mellifluous voice, which is ridiculous for someone of 21 years old, he said, you're going to have no voice left. And he paid tribute to all of the rookies that he's been racing against this year, as well as Celine Roland and Gresham Wagner. Those three would have been the championship favourites at the start of the season. Well, add to that now Aaron Johnson, Sam Pearley, as well as Chris Nunes, unfortunately not in this one at the moment, but he'll be back for the second race because they have all been at the front of the field. And that, what, 5-6 driver squad that we're talking about, any one of those can win on any given race weekend. 7.5 minutes to go. Round 11, the first of two for the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, and the battle is just as hot and heavy as it was when we went to the green flag. And it's Gresham Wagner for Spark Performance, who leads by just a tenth of a second across the line from Hickson Motorsports, the white car with the jigsaw pattern for Autism Speaks in second. Then Aaron Johnson in the dark red metallic, it's called Soul Red Crystal. More Mazdas for the street, for the road, are produced in that colour than any other colour. And when you see it in the sunshine up close, it looks like you would put your hand into it and it would disappear up to your elbow. It is that deep and beautiful a colour. Then it's Michael Carter. He's had about six races in one right here. Started at the back, dead last in 23rd after his qualifying laps weren't recorded. And fought his way up to second, fell back down to sixth, and now back up to fourth. And I suspect he's not finished. He's got the silver car of Jared Thomas behind him from JTR Motorsports Engineering. So Spark leads from Hickson, from Provision Motorsports, from Carter, from JTR, then a little gap back to McCombie McAleer, and then Slipstream Performance. Seven different teams, quality teams, in the top seven before we get the first repeat, which is actually in eighth, Jensen Altman for McCombie McAleer Racing.
And then another team in ninth with Copeland Motorsports. Good point. So very impressive showing. So three McCombie McAleer cars in the top 10, but the variety, and I've talked about it a little bit earlier on, John, JTR started this year with two cars, Jared Thomas and Chris Nunes. They're up to five. They've added Peter Atwater, Woody Hyman, and Dan Williams for this weekend. So they have grown the stable out a lot. It really is quality, but just because you're with a really good team doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be running at the front. We see that exactly on our timing screen with who's at the front right now.
I'm just going to check the supplemental regulations here because I think we've had two laps where I haven't had to have my head explode, which I think makes this race void.
Oh, that's not allowed.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, no points.
No points scored for anybody. I think Carter's gaining on the leaders. It's down to around about a second. Wagner has broken away in Idemitsu MX5 terms. I mean, we're talking, what, five or six, maybe seven cars lengths, half a second between himself and Roland, who's got Johnson, and then Carter about a second further back. And he's dragging Thomas with him. Those five, surely, is where the top three and the podium sitters are going to come from. What brilliant entertainment. And we've still got, at the end of this, what we're doing, we're still doing 141s for the lead, 140s for the guys behind. And again, dust thrown up at the penultimate corner, the downhill right-hander. I see Wagner now getting his head down here, Shea. I think this is a little breakaway. And if Roland and Johnson can't work together here, even with 4 minutes left, which is probably going to be three laps, I think Wagner is driving himself to the top step of the podium here.
Yeah, I just had to double check my notes because Wagner only has two wins on the season, and the last of them came at Sebring back in March. That is a long time without Gresham Wagner winning a race. He's been on the podium at every single race weekend we've had so far this year, and I see no reason why that would change as he continues his hunt for the championship. 80 points behind Michael Carter coming into the race today. If they finish where they stand now, I believe that would be a swing of championship, that Gresham Wagner would be the guy who comes away with the lead going into tomorrow's race. But that is a very surprising statistic, especially when you consider Carter also has, well, he's got three wins on the season, but his last one came the last time out.
The intake of breath from me there was at turn six. Gresham Wagner turned his Mazda from Spark Performance in so sharply. The front end of that car is really gripping up nicely, but the rear Goodriches were starting, the BF Goodriches at the back were just starting to protest a tiny little bit. It'll be this one and one more, I think. No, there'll be one more. Yeah, I think maybe two more. So as we come this time, we won't see the white flag this time with what's left on the track. So Gresham Wagner has about 5 miles or thereabouts. No white flag this time from Tanny. Wagner just dropping away from Carter. Carter desperately trying to close in on Johnson. He's got it down to 9/10 of a second. Is there another chapter of this story from Michael Carter to write? Gresham Wagner, anybody comes down the right-hand side, don't think he's going to see them very well. Half, all of the top four have got the right-hand mirrors bent in. They've been so close to each other. I think there's only Céline Roland with the bright yellow mirrors that are actually in the right place. All of the rest of them are in the parking position. So they look in the mirror, you see yourself. All you're going to see is how good you look in your racing helmet.
Yeah, that sounds strategic to me. I think all of them did that sitting on the grid, don't you? They didn't want to know it's out the right side.
Well, either that or there's an aerodynamic advantage here. You know, these cars are so closely matched. Wagner will see the white flag next time around. Roland, for my money, such as it is, has closed just a wee bit. Now, what's he got left in his tank performance-wise, and more importantly in the BF Goodrich's? This has been an extraordinary race. And Roland is chasing down the leader. Johnson not there at the moment. He's under pressure from Carter for the last place on the podium, but it's these two, I think, for the win. They'll come to the white flag this time around into the final corner for the penultimate time. Just over 2.2 miles to go, and Gresham Wagner for Spark Performance leads from Hickson Motorsports. Céline Roland, who started on the pole position, the white flag is out. Looks like Jean Somme's going to claim third position. Here's that outside move again by Roland. We've seen him do this before. Now, can he work the cut back to the inside? He throws the fake. Once again, there's a little love tap there. Now he'll go back to the right-hand side as they go down towards turn number three, but he's not close enough, and Wagner has managed to hold onto it down towards turn four. Just a slight lift here, not even really a brush of the brakes. And Wagner, oh, beautiful run through turn four. Now at turn five, it's all starting to climb as Johnson is hanging it out behind and goes off the road. Just over half a lap to go. Wagner drops a wheel off at the exit of turn five. That's cost him momentum. He immediately defends to the right-hand side, then moves back. Oh, that's close to blocking. Very close to blocking. He moved, definitely moved in response to what was going on behind. The first move, I understand, but coming back, that might be being looked at. It is the last lap. You'll get away with a wee bit more. Bo Barfield, our race director, is going to be loving this. A very accomplished racing driver himself before he was recruited into race control. Two corners to go. Wagner, huge slide as he pitches it in, backs it in like a MotoGP rider. And Johnson's coming back into it for second now. Has Roland lost the opportunity? Well, certainly a first. Now the run to the line. It's not going to be the blanket finish, but it is going to be a win for Gresham Wagner. This could take him to the championship lead. Spark Performance from Hickson. Céline Roland in second, Oren Johnson in third, and Michael Carter from 23rd to fourth. And it might have been even better. How can you say to Michael Carter that he's disappointed with that? But he may well be, Shea, after starting dead last and challenging for the lead at one point, and it was his mistake that took him out of that lead battle.
Yep, and believe it or not, 70-point difference between where Wagner and Carter finished, 70-point difference between the two of them coming into the race today. That means that they are tied by my math, and I will say I'm not very good at math, but by my math, they are tied. And the count back, they both have the same number of wins. We've got 2 second-place finishes for Wagner and 3 second-place finishes for Carter. So I believe Carter will still be provisionally slightly ahead in the championship by that, but the points add up even.
Oh, wow. Marco Barentswaard, who's in Scandinavia, Holland. How does one stay calm? I've got holes in the ceiling. I've been jumping up and down so much. Proper rally out there, says Matt Andine. Alan Prosser just now. Wagner was sideways, wheels off the floor, throttle welded to the floor, all while plummeting down the corkscrew. Standard operational practice, that, Alan. And Wickerbill, folded in wing mirrors. They're missing a trick. Check out the YouTube for MX5 Cup in the UK when a competitor reached out the cockpit and intentionally folded over the other guy's wing mirror. I love it. Well, it's getting on for 9 o'clock in the UK, 8 o'clock in Europe. Thank you for staying up and watching this one. We've got another race tomorrow. And as they come back to the pit lane, let's confirm the Mazda unofficial results here for round 11 of the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup, the first of two this weekend at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. And it will be Gresham Wagner who stands on the top step of the box. Here's the man on the top of the podium, 0.5 of a second, half a second in the end to Céline Roland in second place. Similar sort of gap to third position for Aaron Johnson. But the story of the race, surely Michael Carter came in as the championship leader for Carter Racing Enterprises, not on the podium. But my goodness me, a drive back from 23rd position where he was into the low teens after two laps. He was into the top 10 after four laps and then was battling for the lead before a mistake at turn six dropped him down to sixth. He's recovered to fourth ahead of Jared Thomas in fifth for JTR. Sam Paley is the second of the rookies. Aaron Johnson, by the way, the best of the rookies. And Jensen Altman in seventh position for Macumbi McAleer is third place for the rookies in their championship. Hernan Palermo is in eighth place from Luke Mars in ninth, and Zachary Lee for Macumbi McAleer makes it three MMR cars in the top 10. Well, what a brilliant run. Chris Noon's the big loser there in our championship challenges, the man who came in leading the rookie championship shit.
Yes, and he did not have a great race today, which means I do believe with Aaron Johnson coming in fourth in points, he'll move up ahead of Luca Mars, but it should be Sam Paley easily holding on to this championship lead for the rookie points, and Johnson closing in a tiny bit, but it's Paley's to lose.
Well, I'm going for a lie down in a darkened room with some whale song or maybe just some white noise, because round 11 of the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Championship has had pretty much everything. A Paul Sitter that lost the lead, a championship leader that started from the back, passes at pretty much every corner at WeatherTech Raceway, Laguna Seca. And eventually, Gresham Wagner for Spark Performance has come through on top. He's led home Céline Roland and Aaron Johnson. They're your top three, but Michael Carter back to fourth from the back of the grid. And we do it all again tomorrow, Sunday, here at WeatherTech Raceway, Laguna Seca. For Shea Adam, I'm John Hindhoff. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.